us about Young Tamlin's magic polynomials.
Thank you. So first I'd like to say if there's something that's not clear, just please stop me and I'll try to explain it better. Okay, so today we'll talk about Young Tableau, and then sure polynomials, symmetric polynomials, and then what time remains, I'll give an application of these ideas to the representation theory of the symmetric group. Okay, so the first thing is Young Tableau, but before I tell you what a Young Tableau is, I want you to think about some other things first. So let's start with a positive integer, and a partition of n is a sequence that's denoted lambda. It's a finite sequence, lambda 1 through lambda k, such that, well, what are these lambdas? These are other positive integers. Lambda is positive integers. And the word partition suggests the second condition, that their sum is n. And we also want to somehow distinguish between partitions, or say when two partitions are the same. And for that, we have the third condition, that this is a weakly decreasing sequence. So, for example, say 3, 3, 2, 1 is a partition of 9. Okay. Okay, so now I'll tell you what a Young diagram is. And in the handout, I give a precise definition. Here, I'll just define it through a picture. So a Young diagram is some collection of boxes, and they're arranged in rows, like that. And they're left justified, so they're all lined up here on the left. And as you go from the top to the bottom, the number of boxes in each row decreases weakly, so we could have the same number of rows of boxes from one row to the next, but they have to be decreasing. So this is one example. Another example is something like this. Those are all Young diagrams. And now we get to our first proposition. Oh, one more thing. So the size of a Young diagram is the number of boxes. So I'll write that here. So this one has size 4, and this one has size 11. Okay, so the proposition says that the set of Young diagrams of size n is in bijection with the partitions of n. Okay, so this proposition is saying that two sets are in bijection. So how do we prove it? We have to find a map going this way and a map going that way that are mutual inverses. Okay, so let's start with the Young diagram D of size n. And how do we get a partition of n? Well, we just... So it's a sequence of positive integers. The first one will be the number of boxes in the first row of D. And the second is the number of boxes in the second row, and so on. So let's check that this is a partition. Well, these are all positive integers. Their sum is n, because that's the size of D, and they're weakly decreasing, because that was the condition on the number of boxes in the rows. And now we need a map the other way. So let's start with a partition lambda of n. And we'll map this to the Young diagram that has lambda 1 boxes in the top row, lambda 2 boxes in the next row, and lambda k boxes in the last row. And so it has size n because this was a partition of n. And the weakly decreasing condition there translates into the weakly decreasing condition for the Young diagram. So this proves the proposition. All right. And now we get to the definition of a Young tableau. So the singular is like that. The plural is with an X at the end. And a Young tableau is a Young diagram that is filled in with positive integers subject to two rules. So the first rule is that in each row we have to have the numbers weakly increasing as we go from left to right. So the entries in each row are weakly increasing. So the picture is something like, here's a row, we're going left to right, and we want to have less than or equal to two signs relating one entry to the next. And the second condition is about columns, and we require that the entries in each column are strictly increasing. So here's our column. We're going from top to bottom, and we want to have strict inequalities as we go down. So let's give an example. So here's a Young diagram, and we can fill it in as 1, 1, 7, 9. So this is okay that we have two 1s here. And then 2, 5, 8, 3, 9, 9, and 6. So this is a Young tableau. And let's fill this one in too. Okay, so those are a few examples. So one thing we want to do is, if we have some Young tableau, we want to produce new ones. So we have to do this step by step. And the first thing we want to do is, if we have a Young tableau and we have a positive integer x, we want to put x inside this Young tableau somehow. And of course, we can't do it just anyway because we have all these rules to follow. We have the rules of the structure of the Young diagram. We have the rules for the Young tableau. So there's an algorithm that tells us how to put x in t, and I've written it out in the handout, and I'll illustrate the algorithm through an example. So this algorithm is called bumping. So let t be our tableau (1, 1, 3, 5, 2, 4, and 3). And so we want to sum, and our x is 2, so we want to somehow put x inside of here. Okay, so this is how the algorithm goes. First, we look in the first row of the tableau. If our x is at least as big as all the entries in the first row, then we put it in a new box at the end. But that's not the case here, so what we do is we go from left to right, and we find the first entry that's strictly bigger than our x. So in this case, we look at this 3. And we put the 2 inside of there, and we take the 3 out. So the next step in the algorithm looks like that. But we don't want to forget about this 3. And what we do is, now we've set the first row, and we go on to the second row. And we do the same sort of procedure with 3 and the second row. So if 3 was at least as big as everything in the second row, we just put it at the end. But that's not the case, so we bump this 4 out of the way, because that's the first number from left to right that's bigger than 3. And now we apply the same procedure to the third row. But now 4 is bigger than 3, so we can just put 4 at the end of that row. And there's our new tableau. So this is T bumped by X. That's the notation. Okay, so the good thing about this algorithm is that it gives us a systematic way of putting X inside of the tableau. The bad thing is that maybe it's a little bit mysterious, maybe it takes a little bit of work to see what's going on, but we have an algorithm to do this. And so now we extend this idea to define products of tableau. So the product of two tableau. Okay, so T and U are a tableau. And what we're going to do is list the entries of U in a specific way. Entries of U. We're going to list them row by row, left to right in each row, and we're going to go from bottom to top. So list the entries of U, x1, x2, up to xk. K will be the size of U. So row by row, bottom to top. Alright, so if our U looked something like this, then we would have x1 here, x2, x3, x4, x5. That's how we take out the entries of U. And let me just do one more example. If this was our U, then our list would be 3, 4, 2, 3, 1, 1, 2, 5. Okay, so now we define the product of T and U to be just the successive bumping of T by these elements. So we start with T, we bump by X1 to produce a new tableau, and then we bump that by X2, and so on, up to XK. Okay. Great, so now we can take products of tableau. One thing to notice is that the size of this new tableau, their product, is the sum of the sizes of T and U, because we start with T and then each step puts in a new box. So, so now I just want to have a note that the empty set is a young tableau. And this comes from the fact that zero, the only partition of zero is the empty set. So this comes from partition of zero is the empty set. And you could convince yourself by going back to the definition. Okay, so now I'll list some properties of this product structure on the set of tableau. So the first thing is for any tableau, we have the empty tableau times t would just give us back t. That's something you can prove. And what's more obvious is that t times empty set is just t, because then we're not bumping by anything. So this says that the empty tableau is the unit or identity of the multiplication. And the second property is associativity of this product. So for any tableau T, U, and V, we have this identity. Okay, so those are the properties, and these are exercises. So if you're bored, you can think about how to prove these. Another thing to note is that this product is not commutative. So another exercise is to find Tu such that T dot U is not equal to U dot T. This isn't very hard. And something else to note is that there are no inverses. Except for the empty tableau, there's no other, if you have a tableau, there's no other tableau you can take the, you can multiply it by to get the empty tableau. And that comes from what I said here about the size of the product being the sum of the sizes. Okay, so this means that the set of tableau together with this product form an algebraic structure which is called a monoid. So the set of Young tableau with this product is a monoid, and the unit of the monoid is just the empty tableau. So if you haven't seen the definition of a monoid before, it's just a set with an associative multiplication and a unit. So it's like a group, but without the requirement of inverses. Okay. Right, so that was part one of the talk. Now I'll tell you about sure polynomials. And I'm going to assume that people have seen a bit of ring theory. Okay, so this is the section on sure polynomials. So just to remind you of some examples of rings, we have, of course, the integers. And then there's also polynomials in one variable x, and we could take polynomials in n variables with coefficients in z. So these are all rings, and now what we're going to do is, given a tableau, we're going to assign to it a monomial in this ring. So here's how we do it. Let T be a tableau. And assume the entries of T are in the set 1 through N. And I'll use this as shorthand for this set. And let M sub I be the number of times the integer I appears in T, for, and this is for I between 1 and N. Okay, and now we set xt to be the monomial x1 to the m1 up to xn to the mn. And this is a monomial inside of the ring of polynomials in n variables. Okay, so if we have, let's do a quick example. If we have, let's say, 1, 1, 3, 3, 5, and 2, then if this is our t, then xt is, let's see, x1 appears twice, x2 appears once, x3 appears twice, and x5 appears once. So here we can take n equal to 5 or 6 or 7. Anything bigger than 5 works. Okay, so this was the first concept, monomial assigned to a tableau. And the next concept is assigning to a partition a polynomial. So how are we going to do this? Let lambda be a partition of K. And so I'll just give you the definition. The Schur polynomial of lambda, or the Schur, yeah, the Schur polynomial of lambda is defined as, so it's a polynomial in n variables, and we're going to define it as a sum of monomials. What are those monomials going to be? Well, they're going to be the ones assigned to tableau T. Well, what's T? T is a tableau with shape lambda. And I realize I didn't say what shape is. Shape means, so we have that partitions correspond to Young diagrams, and Young diagrams are filled in to make tableau. So if we have a tableau, we can just erase all the entries, and we get a Young diagram, and that corresponds to some partition. So saying that T has shape lambda just means that the underlying diagram corresponds to the partition lambda. So this is the sum over tableau with shape lambda, and entries in N, so that we can define a polynomial in this ring. So this will also be in CX1. Okay, so I think it's time to do an example of what's going on here. Okay, so what's the, so example one. I'm going to give you an example of a Schur polynomial. So we have to start with a partition of K. Well, what's the easiest partition one can think of. How about just the partition K? So this corresponds to the diagram that's just K boxes in one row. Okay, so we want to compute the Schur polynomial of this thing. Well, first of all, we have to think about what a tableau with shape lambda and entries in N is. So, tableau shape lambda and entries in N, what does that look like? Well, it's a filled-in Young diagram. And so immediately, based on the rules, we have to have I1 be less than or equal to I2, less than or equal to all the way up to IK. And we also want to restrict our attention to entries in N. So we have these inequalities. And what's the monomial associated to this tableau? Well, it's just the product. Right, just following the rules. Well, that'll come out here. So if, say, I1 is equal to I2, then these two will be equal, so we'll have a power come out. Okay, but now we're interested in computing the Schur polynomial, so we have to sum over all such things. So S of the partition K is a polynomial in N variables, and it's a sum of these things. And what was our condition on the i's? Well, they have to be 1 less than or equal to i1, less than or equal to ik, less than or equal to n. So this is the Schur polynomial for this partition. Okay. So this has a special name. This is called the kth complete symmetric polynomial in n variables. And the usual notation for this is with h sub k. Oh, yeah, so let's do some examples for specific n and k. So I'm going to fix n is equal to 2 and think about what we get when we have two variables. So h sub 0 of x1, x2, well, you can take the definition of h0 to be just 1, just by empty products. Okay, so this is just by definition. More interesting, h1 of x1, x2. So here we have, so our k is equal to 1, so we just have one box. And we have two variables, x1 and x2, the two numbers. And we can fill in this by 1, or we can fill it in by 2. So this is just x1 plus x2. And h2 of x1, x2. So now our k is equal to 2. We have two boxes. Our n is equal to 2. So we have to choose from the numbers 1 and 2. And we could just put 1, 1 here, that's allowed. Or we could put 1, 2, that's also allowed. Or 2, 2. So we get x1 squared coming from this one, plus x1, x2 coming from that one, plus x2 squared coming from this one. And what's h3 of x1, x2? So now our k is equal to 3. We have 3 boxes in a row. And we have 2 numbers to choose from, so we could just put 1s here. Or we could put 1, 1, 2. Or 1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. So we get x1 cubed plus x1 squared x2 plus x1 x2 squared plus x2 cubed. So that's h3. And you can keep going as an exercise. And also you could think about n equals 3, 4, and what happens. So another exercise, find a formula for the number of monomials in HK x1 to xn. Something to think about. But we'll move on. Okay, so this was example one with probably the easiest partition you could think of. But there's another partition that's also pretty easy. And that's the partition that looks like this, k boxes. So this is the partition 1, 1, 1, k times, which I'll abbreviate as 1 to the k. Okay, so we need to think about, I erased the definition, but we need to think about tableau. So tableau with shape 1 to the k, and entries in n, which I'll remind you is just 1 to the n, 1, 2, up to n. Okay, so what does this look like? Here's our tableau. It has entries i1 through ik. But now, by the rules of filling in tableau, we have to have i1 strictly less than i2, strictly less than i3, strictly less than ik, and by the condition that the entries have to be from 1 to n, we have these inequalities at the end. So if this is our t, then what's x to the t? Well, it's the same thing we had before, i1, ik. This takes care of all the powers and everything. So now we're in a position to write down the Schur polynomial corresponding to the partition 1 to the k. So we sum all over all such things, and our constraints were that 1 is less than or equal to i1, strictly less than i2, strictly less up to ik. And this goes by the more common name as the kth elementary symmetric polynomial. And the usual notation is EK. Okay, so it's going to turn out that these are in some sense smaller than the complete symmetric polynomials, because we have these strict inequalities here, because we have those constraints. So let's do, as we did before, let's do n equals 2 for the e's. So e0, x1, x2, this is again 1. You could take that to be the definition. So let's find out what e1 of x1, x2 is. So here we just have one box. Our k is equal to 1. Just have one box. And our n is equal to 2. So we just have two things in here to pick from. So this could either be, could either fill the box by 1 or by 2. So we have x1 plus x2 as we did before. So now if we look at e2, now we have two boxes arranged vertically. And we only have two numbers to work with. So we could put a 1 here, and then we can only put a 2 there. We can't put a 1 because those are the rules of filling in tableau. And we could try to put a 2 up here, but then the other entry needs to be strictly bigger than 2, but we don't have any more things to work with because our n is equal to 2. So there's nothing else. There's just x1, x2. And what about e3? Well, okay, so we have three boxes. We could try putting a 1 here. Then we're forced to put a 2 here, but then there's nothing to put in there. So this is just 0. So in fact, ek of x1, x2 is 0 for k bigger than 2. And really quickly, let's do a few examples with n equals 3. E1, you can probably figure out that this is x1 plus x2 plus x3 very quickly. E2 will now be x1, x2 plus x1, x3 plus x2, x3, because we can fill this in 1, 2, 1, 3, or 2, 3. And E3 is x1, x2, x3. There's only one way to fill this in, and it's 1, 2, 3. And then ek is 0 for k bigger than 3. Okay, so again, exercise, find a formula for the number of monomials in ek with n variables. And one more exercise. If we think about the power series that are generated by the e's and the h's, so consider, so e of t is ek tk. So we can think of each entry here as a polynomial in x1 through xn, and also t. And we also have h of t, h of k, t to the k. And one thing you can think about is to prove that h of t times e minus t is equal to 1. Okay. Right, so that was sure polynomials. Now time for symmetric polynomials. I've already used the word symmetric in some cases, and these are instances of something more general. So again, I'm going to be working in Z with n variables. So definition, if I have a polynomial in here, then it's symmetric if, so I'll write it in symbols. So one thing we can do with this polynomial, it takes in n arguments. And we could permute those arguments using an element of the symmetric group. So this will be a statement for every sigma in the symmetric group, every permutation. So we can permute the variables here. And it's symmetric if nothing happens, if we just get f back. So that's what a symmetric polynomial in n variables is. And so examples, well, here are some examples on the board. Here are my n is equal to 2. So the only thing in the symmetric group is the transposition 1 and 2. And this is fixed, because if I switch 1 and 2, I get the same thing. This also, and then 0 and 1, trivially are symmetric. Here my n equals 3 is 3, so I have some more permutations. But again, all these things are fixed by permutations of variables. So in general, all the EKs and HKs, all the elementary symmetric polynomials and complete symmetric polynomials are symmetric. Otherwise, they wouldn't be named very aptly. So here's an example of something that we haven't seen before that's not one of the E's or the H's. Think about n equals 2 and x1 squared x2 plus x1 x2 squared. So with n equals 2, it's not too hard to check that this is symmetric. And this turns out to be the Schur polynomial of the partition corresponding to that Young diagram in two variables. So there are examples. And it's proposition that the Schur polynomial of lambda is symmetric for all partitions lambda. So I'm not going to prove this, but this is something that's true and that's confirmed by our observations. Okay, so now I'm going to collect all the symmetric polynomials inside this set lambda superscript parentheses n. So this is the set of all symmetric polynomials in Z adjoint x1, xn. Another way to describe this is as, okay, so I kind of alluded to this here. The symmetric group acts on this polynomial ring by permuting the variables. And a polynomial is symmetric if it's fixed by the action. So the set of all symmetric polynomials is the fixed set of this action of Sn. And this lambda superscript n, it turns out to be a subring of Z adjoint x1 through xn. And so, yeah, we just have to check. To see that, you just have to check that it's closed under addition and multiplication. Zero's in there. One is in there. Right. So now we have our lambda superscript n's. And there's a natural ring homomorphism row from lambda superscript n plus 1, so lambda superscript n. And how does this work? Well, it's just set. So this, okay, so these are polynomials in x1 through xn plus 1. These are polynomials in x1 through xn. So if we have a polynomial here, we just need to kill off the xn plus 1 variable. So we can do that just by setting it equal to 0. By setting xn plus 1 equal to 0. So that definitely gives us a polynomial in n variables. And the thing to check is that if we started with a symmetric polynomial here, we would get a symmetric polynomial here. So that's something to check. Okay, so we have all these ring homomorphisms, and we can group them together to obtain a sequence of homomorphisms. So we start with lambda 0, and we have row 0. So lambda 0 is just z. And then row 1. So we have this sequence. And this is an inverse system since the arrows point the wrong direction. So what we can do is take the inverse limit of the system. Okay, so this is going to seem kind of weird for people who haven't seen it before, but I'll say a few words why this is what we want to do. So the inverse limit is capital lambda. It's an arrow going in that direction because that's the way the arrows are going here, of the system lambda superscript n. And okay, so this is defined as the set of all, it's a subspace of the product of all the lambdas. And what subspace is it? Well, we need that row n of fn plus 1 is equal to fn. So every element is in this product. We can think of that as a sequence of things, and the nth term in the sequence lives in lambda superscript n. And we look at the space of all sequences that satisfy this property. So it makes sense to require, since row of n was going from lambda n plus 1 and f n plus 1 is inside of lambda n plus 1, it makes sense to require that f sub n plus 1 goes to fn, where fn was the nth entry in this sequence. So why is this what we want to do? Well, this lets us think about polynomials in arbitrarily many variables. So we don't just restrict ourselves to n. Just so you notice that when I was defining the monomial associated to a tableau, I had to require that it had only entries from 1 to n. And this is somehow a way of fixing that problem, that we want to consider tableau with entries that are arbitrarily large. So let me see what I wanted to say here. So this is called the ring of symmetric functions. And I'll just do one example. So inside of here, we have E sub k. And what's E sub k? Well, it's an element of this ring lambda, so it has to be a sequence. So E sub k sub n, this is the nth term of our sequence, and our sequence is indexed by, I should have said n0 just means the natural numbers in 0, so 0, 1, 2, to infinity. And what's, so the nth term of the sequence has to live in lambda n. And what's the nth term? That's just our old friend, the elementary symmetric polynomial in n variables. And so this is in lambda superscript n. And you can check that this satisfies this condition, so it's indeed in lambda. And you can also think about the example of hk. So I didn't get to any representation theory, but I'll stop there. Thank you.